as a kid, you probably like to explore different places that you shouldn't go. In a recent EPP bonus episode, we hear the story of a presence on a family farm that keeps a child from getting into something he probably shouldn't be getting into, meaning a tunnel underneath the grounds. It is one creepy story, and you'll only hear it on EPP bonus episode number 53.
You won't forget this one.
Sign up to be an EPP, get the episode and all of our bonus episodes, and help keep our show on the air. Sign up, click become an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener describes the sight he saw one night that made him question if he had just come upon a wreck. Quickly learned that was not the case. Could a deceased father have returned to help his wife during a physical altercation? A lonely little girl is crying all alone, but it's not actually tears that are streaming down her face. And was it an attempted kidnapping or a ghost that led two little boys away from home? Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm counting down the days to Halloween.
How many?
Well, at the time of this thing airing, you know, when I say that, I should actually have been counting so I can actually answer that question accurately. If you're listening to this on Tuesday the 20th, the day of its release, you are looking at approximately 11 days.
Yes.
Or if you want to look at it how one of our children counts, how is her? Her system's kind of odd. She
doesn't count today or the day of the event.
Okay.
So that would make it 9 days till Halloween in her mind.
I think I did that sort of shit when I was a kid, too.
We all did.
When it was like always, it was like countdown to the end of school.
See, I remember doing that with my birthday, and I was like, my birthday is towards the beginning of the month, and so I didn't count that month. I just counted
I just counted
the months until the beginning of June.
Now, so that's a bit extreme, taking an entire month out of the picture.
We're talking actually 8 days.
Well, I know we're talking 8 days, but that's 8 days. It's kind of a big span of time when you're counting. But hey, it makes it seem like it's coming that much sooner, doesn't it?
It does.
That's it? It's just the day that's currently happening and the day of? Doesn't she, like, discount the next day, too, or something weird? Like, that's
no, it's just those 2 days. That's how her little mind works.
I wish that sort of counting actually did work, you know, in reality. Anyway, so we're getting very close to that. That's exciting. And it's kind of interesting because it seems, you know, Halloween hits, and then it's just bam, bam, bam.
Mm-hmm.
It's January now.
Yeah, exactly.
It goes very, very fast. Every year it feels like, oh, you know, the kids here, I remember, like, you know, taking them home for trick-or-treating. And then, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, before you know it, it's going to be Christmas. And then I'm sitting there on Christmas going, it seemed like you were just trick-or-treating.
It's going to be 4th of July.
It will be very soon. So you have to, like, look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the dark, dank, cold month of January where not a whole lot goes on.
January and February suck.
Yeah. We need, like, more holidays there.
Mm-hmm.
More holidays should be invented. More spooky-based holidays. Because they are kind of gloomy months.
They are.
Be perfect for another Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
We need to create another spooky holiday, like January 30th. And it's right there in the middle.
Halloween 2?
Something of that nature. I think the movie title probably has claim to that. How about this? On February 30th, we do something.
February 30th?
That's the new holiday, February 30th.
There is no 30th of February.
Exactly. There is a 29th this next year, though.
Oh, there is. Okay.
That means it's a leap year, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking at the calendar. I see 29th of February. I'm like, that doesn't look right.
We should make up some kind of fake Real Ghost Stories Online holiday for January 30th.
Okay.
Just to get us through.
Any ideas, anyone? Anyone have any ideas on what we should make that holiday be? What it should celebrate? What we should be doing on that day?
Yeah.
Email it in, send it in on the forum, whatever. We'll figure out some sort of new holiday that we can all enjoy and help get through winter that much easier.
Shadow Person Palooza.
That could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff. All right. Send us your ideas. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. Of course, you can write it on the website as well, realghoststoriesonline.com. The ghost show that doesn't end. We do it year-round, in case you're a new listener. Jessica writes in, "Hi, guys. I started listening to your radio show a few weeks ago and am very intrigued by all of the ghost stories that you share on your show. I think they are fascinating. I'm a huge believer in ghosts and the paranormal. However, I never really had any real experience seeing ghosts or paranormal activity. I do have one experience, however. I'm a little confused as to whether it was reality and a dream at the same time. I'll explain what I mean later. I definitely know that whatever I experienced had some meaning. My story's not too long. Anyway, here it goes. I used to have a dog named Lily that I was very close to. I considered her like my sister, and as weird as that might sound, Lily passed away about 5 years ago. My dog suffered a lot right before her death. She had heart problems and was very old. When Lily passed away, I was very sad. Until this day, I still think of her. I have dreams about her, here and there, but the last dream felt like a reality. It was late at night, maybe around 2 a.m. or less, and I half asleep and half awake when I distinctly heard something that sounded like dog paws stomping on my bedroom floor, starting from the corner of my room and working its way closer to my bed. I was too scared to open my eyes. Without a doubt, I knew that was my dog. At this point, my heart began palpitating. I remember thinking to myself, OMG, OMG, is this my dog? OMG, OMG, OMG. Does she actually think in terms of abbreviations, or is she actually thinking, oh my God?
I think some people actually think in terms of the acronym because they use it so often.
LOL, OMG. Wow. Can you also think in just emojis too? Like you no longer are actually thinking thoughts. It's just symbols that are popping up into your head.
I don't know.
If that's the way the world's going, we're all very fucked. Continuing on, right after this thought, I felt my dog jumping on my bed and began walking closer to me, like she always used to do when she would go to bed with me. Still keeping my eyes closed, I turned my body away from my dog because I was too scared and I was not sure if I was experiencing something real or just a dream. I remember my dog jumping off the bed and I followed her into the kitchen and she disappeared. At this point, I realized that the last few seconds I had with my dog, I was following her into the kitchen. Felt like a dream because I was still asleep when this was happening. When I heard my dog walking towards me and jumping on my bed, I physically felt my dog being there. I woke up and my heart was beating fast, and I remember tearing a little because I felt my dog's presence, a positive energy. Eventually, I fell back asleep, and the next morning when I woke up, I was still shocked at what I experienced and still had the same feelings and emotions from that night. Now, going back to my previous comment about whether I was experiencing a dream and or my dog's actual presence at the same time, I was wondering if it's possible to dream but actually experience everything that is happening in your dream in reality. Thanks for reading this, and I can't wait to hear my story.
I think it's part of what happens when you're caught between being awake and asleep.
Mm-hmm.
To where you don't really know which one you're in.
Sleep paralysis?
Well, not exactly sleep paralysis in the sense that we talk about it where something attacks you,
mm-hmm.
but just, well, I guess it is kind of that same zone.
You think the dog came back?
I don't know.
Or was it just that, you know, one of those things where you really felt close to it and it's like wishful thinking almost with a hint of sleep paralysis?
I don't know, because with it happening right between that awake and asleep,
mm-hmm.
It's just hard to say.
And it's not like she woke up and the collar was sitting next to her bed.
No.
That's the thing where it's hard to tell if that was a dream or a ghostly experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's right on the edge there. There's a lot of things, though, that happen where, you know, we have, especially some of the words we've been getting lately in stories are fairies. And not Tinkerbell fairies.
No.
And also we've been having a lot of stories as of late where it seems people are seeing themselves or seeing other living people who are not at the end or the venue where they're seeing the other person.
Mm-hmm.
The real person is not. Kind of spooky stuff. Some of this covered in a new book.
Okay.
that I was audiobooking the other day, and it's kind of interesting because it covers like all of these things and kind of the history behind them. It's called A Field Guide to Demons, Vampires, Fallen Angels, and Other Subversive Spirits.
Okay.
It's a field guide.
That's
it's
cool.
Like something you get in Boy Scouts for demonology. But it really is interesting. It goes into all of these, you know, topics that we talk about, whether it be, you know, shadow people, whether it be the fairies, whether it be impersonations of people or whatever you want to call it. What's the word I'm looking for?
Doppelgangers.
Here? Doppelgangers. All that stuff. The history of them, where this has like come up initially as far as being a documented thing, and some of the cases of people really looking into their specific situations and trying to figure out where, when, and why.
Mm-hmm.
Those experiences were happening to them. It's a really interesting book on the topic, and our listeners can get it for free. If they're not members of Audible yet, you simply go to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, click on the free audiobook button, sign up, and it is yours. Just Google it. Just search it within Audible. A Field Guide to Demons, Vampires, Fallen Angels, and Other Subversive Spirits. Long title, I know, but a good book.
Sounds good.
So check that out. It's absolutely free if you're a listener to our show and are not a member of Audible yet. Like I said, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click free audiobook and enjoy. It's on us. All right. Next story comes in. Who says, hello, guys. Great show. I live in California, 30 minutes north of San Diego. The area is still has some rural areas. And as such, there are rural roads that are dark and creepy at night. I often travel one of these roads to visit my girlfriend. On the 14th of this month in September, I was driving home at about 11:30 at night. This road has no street lights. There's two lanes and there's plenty of curves. I was coming around the bend at a point where the road goes down a bit. I saw a figure standing in the middle of the oncoming lane. The figure looked to be one single tone of smoky gray. I could not distinguish any details. The silhouette looked like a person with hair just above the shoulder, a long dress that stopped just below the knee, and sleeves that ended at the elbow. For a moment, I wondered if someone's drunken or senile grandma had wandered onto the road. I slowed down and quickly scanned the road and the dirt shoulder. I was afraid there might be a broken-down car or an accident that this person had walked away from. I could clearly see that there were no cars, motorcycles, or bicycles in the area. For a moment, I doubted that the figure was really there. I looked over to my left, and now I was the only two car lengths away from the figure. Although my headlights illuminated the whole area, the figure remained a smoky gray form. For a second, I thought it may be a smudge on my windshield, but at the very moment the figure moved, I could clearly see as it lifted its feet in a shuffle-like walk and turned towards me. Its arms hung limp at its side and swayed as it turned around. The outline of this figure was sharp in contrast to the darkness behind it, but I could see no face. There were two factors that made me floor the gas pedal and get the hell out of Dodge. One, my driver's side window was stuck all the way down, and my skin crawls just thinking it could reach into my car. The second has to do with my culture. About a week prior, driving the same dark road at the same spot, a large barn owl had swooped down at my car and almost hit my windshield. I am Mexican, and in the myths and tales of my culture, it's believed that witches can transform into barn owls. We call these owls, I'm going to slaughter this name, Lechuza?
I don't know.
I decided I didn't want to find out if this was a ghost or a witch. I've had other paranormal encounters, but this one freaked me out. Since this encounter, I have used my camcorder to record my drive along this road. Two nights ago, I captured two light orbs shoot across the road at the same spot. The orbs are so close to my car that the light from one of them can be seen reflecting in my car's hood. Thank you, Tony and Jenny, for the great show. Hope my story wasn't too long.
That is really interesting that all those things happened at the same spot. Makes you wonder if there was some kind of accident or something that happened at that spot.
Something's waiting for him there.
Mm-hmm. I would find a different way home if possible.
If that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only question. That's God. And it's interesting with the foreboding things with the owl and all of that right there. Yeah, there's something to that spot.
Yeah.
Is it a mixture of the spot in him, or is it just the spot? You think there's other folks that are running into odd occurrences there?
I think it has something to do with him as well, because when he passed, it turned kind of like it knew he could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's that element of, oh, they can see me, mm-hmm. you know, that's at play, and that makes it, I guess, more interesting to the entity.
Sure. When you have situations like that, do you think it's just targeted for that specific individual or another individual with similar abilities would also?
I think somebody maybe with similar abilities would have the same reaction out of the entity.
Mm-hmm. It's just it sees them coming
mm-hmm.
a mile away.
And I think that's actually what it is.
Sure. Okay. Interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Omar writes in, hey guys, first off, I want to say I'm a big fan. I want to share my story because I really want to get this off my chest. Haven't told anyone the story until today. When I was about 11 years old, I always believed in the paranormal world. I was watching TV with my mom. My uncle barged in yelling and looking for his oldest son and my brother. He was mad because his son hasn't come home in time. His son and my brother were playing PS2 at the time, and by the way, they were in their early 20s. So my uncle made his way upstairs and started pounding on his son and his brother. My mom rushed upstairs to stop him, and my mom is 110 pounds, 55 years old at the time. My uncle smacked her and told her to stay out of this. When my brother saw that my mom was getting hit like this, he went nuts. Of course, I was young and started crying, praying to God and calling my dad that he had died when I was 5 to help my mom. All of a sudden, I see my mom having such a strength that I don't know where it came from. She tossed my 250-pound uncle to the wall and said, "Get the hell out." When this all calmed down, we all went to bed and I slept next to my mom because I was very shaken up about the whole ordeal. When I was lying in bed, my mom was sound asleep. And I see this white figure that looked like my dad walking up to my brother's door, grabbing the doorknob, stopped and looked at me. I was so scared that I went under the blanket and said a prayer and took another look. There he was. My dad was on the edge of my mom's bed. He smiled and then just vanished. I was so scared that I didn't know what to make of this. I just want your thoughts on this situation. Thank you. I plan on becoming an EPP member very soon. Just to help you guys out, I'll call in one day and share another story that recently happened to me.
I think Dad came to help.
I do too. I mean, there's a lot of stories of moms and in, you know, tough situations where their children are threatened and really getting some sort of strength out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been stories of cars being lifted off of people and things of that nature. But the fact that then there is this second part to it where he sees something.
Yeah.
He sees something seems to be more of a sign of more than just whatever that strength is that can take over someone. We may know the source of it now.
I agree. I was thinking that at first. I thought, well, it could just be the adrenaline rush. Mm-hmm. But no, Dad actually came, so everybody will know that was him.
Yeah, that's a very interesting story and one I'm sure he will never forget. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. The other way to get stories to us is through the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click submit your ghost story and then write it on in. That's how we get our stories. And if you're a new listener to the show, we do this thing year round, not just in Halloween season. So feel free to submit and hopefully we'll get your story on in the coming weeks. Mason writes in, hey, Tony and Jenny, I have two stories for you. My first didn't happen to me, but a close friend. So this friend believed that her house was haunted. Her family wasn't really big on the paranormal. While she was at dinner, her brother mentioned something odd that happened to him. My friend mentioned it could have been the ghost. Her family started to say that ghosts don't exist, and she started to doubt her belief as well. But after dinner, she went downstairs to her computer. She logged on. Now note, she has a password on her computer, so nobody can get on. When she logged on, she noticed the sticky note app was on. When she opened the app, the sticky note said, "I wish she would realize," and it sent shivers down her spine. She asked all her family members if they did it, and they all said no. After that, she never doubted the paranormal. Now, the next story happened to me. I live in Kentucky in the country, and I live near where an Indian massacre happened. I always have stuff happen to me in my house. Now, I was home alone, and I was on the third floor. I was walking to my restroom from my room. There's a balcony on the third floor where you can view the family room. The main thing that you can see from the balcony is a chair. Anyways, I was walking to the bathroom and I peer to the chair. I see a little girl weeping in the chair. Once I realized what I saw, I ran to the balcony. Once I got to the balcony, she looked up. She's not crying tears, but rather blood. I didn't feel scared from the ghost, but rather sad for it. I watched the girl for a while, and then she was gone. I said a prayer for this ghost and hope that she passes over and can be happy. Love the show. I hear my story on the show. I hope to become an EPP. Hope you guys have a great day.
Okay, a ghost that's crying blood. Is it a ghost or is it something else?
I'm thinking it's something not so nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't get a good feeling about that one.
Yeah, I'm guessing if it's crying blood, it's probably not necessarily one of the better ones to be interacting with.
Yeah.
That's why you have the field guide to demons, vampires, fallen angels, and other subversive spirits handy.
Okay.
When that happens, you just pull it out. Let's see here.
Go in the index and look up Tears of Blood.
Tears of Blood, page 243. And you look it up. There you go.
It's not really page 243.
Now, it's not exactly going to tell you how to get rid of it, but it's going to just confirm that you're not crazy and other people have also experienced something like that.
Okay.
Free audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
On the website, if you click a free audiobook, look that book up. It's actually really interesting. It's a good one to get. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Elizabeth writes in, "Hey guys, love the show. Can't get enough. I'm writing to you because I have a story in particular that I think about often. I have many stories of the unexplained, but this one I can't shake. It was 5 years ago. I was in the hospital giving birth to my oldest daughter. I wasn't at the point of epidural yet, but me being a baby, they gave me some pain medicine to make me comfortable. I can't recall what it was they gave me, but it put me on cloud nine. It was very shortly after the injection that I noticed four figures standing in certain parts of my hospital room. They're about 5 feet tall, grayish black, but they had a white glow around them. The room was mildly dark except for the light. The nurses made me keep on above my bed. Nobody but me could see them. Kept asking everyone who they were. My husband just kept telling me it was the drugs they had given me, but I knew it wasn't. Every time someone would come into the room, they stand by my bed, and I would see them peek around the person coming to check on me. They stood guard there for a good 12 hours until it was time to start pushing, and all the lights came on. Shortly after I got home and got settled with my new baby, I told my mother, and she told me that it could have been my grandparents looking in on me. Both sets of my grandparents are deceased, so maybe it was them. Maybe it was a hospital ghost checking out the situation. Anyway, sorry if this was long. Thanks, y'all."
I think there's a lot of times where people are, they're in, an altered state, for lack of a better term, because of a medication.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows them to see something they wouldn't normally see. And the medication is blamed for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily I would put it in hallucination. I would say that it's more so just enabling a part of that ability to awaken.
Which is interesting because the other day we were talking about certain medications and it essentially dumbing down the ability to have that sensitive side open. So it probably really depends on what type of medication it is.
Yes, yes.
Like certain things open you up more and certain things close you off more, essentially.
I think so. And I think in this case, I mean, yes, you could say, oh, it was just the medication with, you know, having a baby. But in that type of setting, in a hospital, we know how haunted hospitals are. I think it may have just opened her up to see more things.
And it's not exactly a common occurrence where people are seeing other people when they're on these medications.
It depends on what the medication is.
Okay, well, yeah, sure, sure. But, I mean, I'm sure it's not super...
No, it's probably not.
You know, interesting, interesting story. Thanks for writing that in. 855-853-4802 is your number. Mike writes in, "Here's one of multiple stories that I have that I cannot explain. I had a few as a child, but none until I moved to Wisconsin as an adult in my mid-20s. I began dating this girl who became my wife in the spring of 2011. About a month after meeting her, I moved in with her, her sister's boyfriend, and their three children. was a two-story home in rural Wisconsin that they were renting. Most days were as normal as could be, but we all experienced things either alone or as a group that were unexplained. For the sake of a shorter story, I'll share a few that I personally experienced. One summer afternoon, I was watching the youngest child, who was about a year and a half old. We were playing a game where I would chase him around the house just to keep him occupied and hopefully wear him out before his mother came home. We ran from the living room, through the dining room, and into the kitchen over and over again. At one point, as I passed the basement door that was right before entering the kitchen, I heard two loud bangs on that door. I slowed down, looked at the door, and continued after the child and ended the game. I went immediately back to the door to try and make an explanation of what had happened. I ran past the door, pushed against the door, tried everything I could, besides banging on it, to replicate the noise and could not. I told the mother what had happened, and it turns out that same door opened up on its own one night as they were eating supper. The basement was rarely used for anything, and the only way to open the door would be to turn the handle. Fast forward a few months, as we were playing cards around the kitchen table, I noticed movement in the kitchen. When I quickly glanced over, I witnessed a split second of a figure in the kitchen that moved out of sight into the laundry area. I told myself that it was probably my mind playing tricks on me, until that night I was awoken to Corey, the other man who lived there, yell out, "What the fuck?" This was around 3:30 or so in the morning, and he routinely woke up and made himself a sandwich. Went into the kitchen and asked him what was going on. He told me that he was eating a sandwich when he looked up at the door, with a window on it, to see a reflection of himself and someone standing behind him in the doorway. He said he quickly turned around, and nothing was there. My only other experiences with that house was waking up to the bathroom and distinctly hearing someone walking up the stairs toward me as I stood at the top of the stairs. We all had experiences with similar things while living there and even had a meeting around the table accepting that we were not alone in the household. It was a serious conversation and we decided that we would stay as long as whatever it was did not start or mess with the children. That did happen and we all moved out soon after. I'll write back a different time with the rest of the story and how the children were affected. Thank you for your podcast. I'm a new listener and one that truly did not believe in ghosts until I experienced things that could not be logically explained.
I think that fear of seeing something in the reflection at night is something we all have.
Mm-hmm. I don't look at the mirrors.
No, I know you don't.
I don't make sandwiches either.
No, but just knowing that there was a face there and then it's gone. That's terrifying.
I think if that happened went up to the, you know, use the bathroom and I saw something like that, I think I'd have a real difficult time going to the bathroom in the middle of the night anymore. I think I'd be like one of those people just sitting there holding it and being very uncomfortable.
Really?
For a very long time. We'd have to get a bedpan probably.
Oh God. That's something nobody needs to think about.
You better hope that I never see a ghost in the mirror.
Okay.
Sal writes in, "Hi guys, thank you for the awesome show. I have one story I never told anyone. When I was very little, I went on a walk in my grandparents' neighborhood with my younger brother and grandpa. At some point, me and my brother got lost and couldn't find grandpa anywhere. We were 5 or 6 years old back then. We were terrified that we were lost all alone. Then out of nowhere, there was a guy in a gray hoodie down the road running towards us. We thought it was grandpa trying to scare us because he wore a gray hoodie all the time. My younger brother, being smarter than me, has always asked me, how could he possibly run? Remember, he has a bad knee? We looked at each other, and the next second, we started running as fast as we could, turning right and left randomly through the neighborhood for who knew how long. We somehow got back to our grandparents' home. We saw Grandpa had fallen asleep on a rocking chair, ran to him and woke him up to tell him what happened to us while he was gone. He looked at us in confusion for a minute and proceeded to tell us that he was in his chair the whole time and never went for a walk. Now, he was in his 60s then. He's very sharp and active mentally. He was dead serious and very concerned for us for what happened, including going for a walk on our own. I swear he was there with us on a walk. He was holding our hands as we usually did. I'm still puzzled to this day. I'm assuming the guy who chased us might have been really trying to kidnap us or something, but Grandpa... either he had an astral projection or we were hallucinating. What do you think? Thank you again for the show. Looking forward to hearing back from you guys, hopefully, on the show. Sal.
That is craziness that they thought that they were going for a walk with Grandpa.
There you go. It's kind of like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Covered in that book. It's one of those things where it's, and I don't know if it's necessarily astral projection, but something else taking on the form of Grandpa.
Yeah.
And these are little kids. They're not necessarily having the knowledge of, oh, look, Grandpa doesn't have a left ear, or mm-hmm. whatever is not quite right about Grandpa. It feels like Grandpa.
Yeah.
Something was luring them out.
It was. And I'm just really surprised that it was that real that they followed it.
Yeah. Now, it makes you wonder then, was it an actual kidnapper that was out there trying to get it and it was working in tandem with this dark thing? Or was that another dark thing out there?
I don't know. It sounded like they pretty well were sure they left home with Grandpa.
Yeah. Interesting and disturbing story.
Mm-hmm.
All at once. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, we would absolutely love to hear it. Let's go over to a caller. Hi.
Hey, how are you guys? Big fan of the show. And after listening to a bunch of people tell their story, I decided that I would get the courage to tell my story. This happened when I was around 7, maybe 8 years old, and it was my lesson on as to why you should never mess with shadow people. At the time, I was, like, seeing shadows, and, you know, I was positive that it wasn't my imagination, because even when you're young, you can kind of tell the difference between when something is, like, a real shadow or when something is just, like, a literal mask. And when I was little, I had been seeing these kind of shadows at the end of my bed, out of my corner of my eye, and, like a dummy, I decided to start acknowledging them. I'd tell them, hello, how are you? Would you like to come in, when I was coming in from playing outside and stuff like that? And the more I acknowledged them, the more that they started to appear as just these solid, dark masses. And then they didn't start appearing just at night. They started appearing throughout the daytime as well. One time I was coming home from school, and I was just walking in the door, and we had a staircase right in the door, and I saw a dark shadow standing at the top of the stairs and then quickly darting down the hall. Walking up the stairs, I noticed that there were, like, scratch marks at the very staircase, which later my mother yelled at, blaming me, but I've always thought that it was whatever was standing there. Quite possibly the scariest thing ever, and I kind of learned my lesson as to not talk with them. I think, however, the worst thing was when I think I saw a shadow person, like, reveal who they truly are, so to speak. I was walking upstairs from the basement, and I had turned off the light, and I felt a hissing noise behind me, and I could swear to this day that what I saw was a woman with, like, long, scraggly black hair, a very pale gray face, with her hand reaching out. And as soon as I turned around, she kind of looked up at me and started sinking back into the darkness really slowly. I didn't go down into the basement for months. I was scared out of my wits, and, you know, till this day, I still don't know what to think about it. Then, long story short, I basically just stopped acknowledging these black shadows, and fortunately, after a while, they went away. But I still see them from time to time, and I don't know if these are, like, entities that, because I acknowledge them, want my attention again, or if I've let these things kind of get attached to me. But fortunately, ever since I stopped, like, acknowledging them and talking to them, they have not, you know, bothered me as much. So that was my story. I hope you guys enjoyed. I would love to hear your feedback on it. because it still freaks me out to this day. And I'm 22 now, and big fan of the show. Love what you guys are doing, and thank you very much.
I think you should continue to not acknowledge or talk to them, and keep them from showing up. Just because shadow people are tricky. Every once in a while you find a good one, but a lot of times you find some that don't have the best intention.
You never really know what you're going to get.
No.
With a shadow person.
You don't.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the more acknowledgement that you do, the more likely it is to interact, and until you know exactly what it is. Even if you think you know, it may just be one of those things where it's just best to leave it alone. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hello, my name is Angelo. I'm calling from Clarkston, Michigan. I have been a long-time listener. Really enjoy the show. Great job, you guys. Very happy you guys are doing the podcast. Basically, I've always had experiences since I was about 10 years old. Experiences meaning different aspects of the paranormal, whether it be shadow people. I've also experienced different aspirations, different types of ghosts, and even a few very dark forces in my time, meaning like different kinds of, I would say, demons, red-eyed entities of some sort, and overall very high sensitivity to these type of things. My first experience of many that I've experienced throughout my whole life so far. I'm about 37 now. This happened when I was 10. Me and my family were living in a house in Waterford, Michigan, a house that I grew up in, and I was laying in my bed. This was about, let's say about 10 o'clock at night. It was a school night, but I was up watching a basketball game or something. I don't remember. I've never been into sports, but anyways, I was up late, and I fell asleep, and I was laying on my back, and we had a day bed with like the grass head and foot rails, whatever, and I remember hearing my dad get up from my parents' room, which was just adjacent to the room that I was in, and he went up and I guess was going to the restroom or something, and within a few minutes I felt something grab the rail right above my head. So me thinking it was just my father checking on me, I thought nothing of it, and I asked him, is everything okay? I got no response. So I opened my eyes, I laid on my back, and all I saw was a dark figure hovering above me. Somewhat transparent, but very, very, very heavy with the smell of like rotting flesh, almost like a dead animal, like you would, you know, smell on the way driving somewhere and on the side of the road. And I froze, and I felt a great pressure on my chest, like its presence was causing some sort of gravitational push against my chest. So I felt like it was hard to breathe, and I was just laying there in shock. I closed my eyes for a few seconds and just hoped that it would either leave me alone or what it was, I'm not sure. And I opened them, and it was gone. But one thing very distinct that I remember from the shadow was that it was had a headdress, like an American, you know, Native American. And I noticed that, you know, there was a feather on one side, and just the outlining of around his. Its head was like that. Now, I'd done research, and apparently the grounds at my old house in that area of Waterford used to be an area that was, you know, populated by an Indian tribe, you know, back in the wagon wheel days, I guess. So that would have been it, but I do have plenty of more stories on this subject. I would really, I do have about 4 or 5 pages that I could email to you guys if you want to read them to the show. I emailed the first page talking about the story that I just spoke of. And I love you guys. Enjoy you guys' show. I'm sorry, I'm kind of having a hard time talking. It just always makes me nervous. Because when I start talking about this stuff or becoming more sensitive, I have more experiences occur in my daily life. So, love the show, guys. Glad I could call in. Hopefully this was on the air. Thank you.
That's an interesting thought. The more he talks about it, the more things happen.
I don't know if it's drawing things in or if it's just being more aware. You know?
It's one of those, you know, it's very hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
And it especially, you know, I'm glad that doesn't happen to us.
Oh, no kidding.
The fact that we do this every day, we would have one hell of a monster house going on. But it's an interesting observation. I bet there's a lot of hauntings in this country that can be attributed to homes being built on land that is essentially a burial ground.
Oh, yeah.
Completely unmarked.
Sure.
Or at least in you know, the current records, if you will. There's plenty of places where there just are simply no existing records anymore of where some of these burial places were, especially with the Native Americans and such.
And quite literally, that could be anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really could be. I mean, unless you go to an area where it was known that no one was here. There was nobody settled in this specific area. But that's few and far between.
Right.
I mean,
right.
A lot of the areas of interest for settlement had settlements there,
mm-hmm.
By them before the settlers ever got here after that. So I just think that it's interesting he had the ability or was given the ability there to see specifics on that with the headdress and all that,
mm-hmm.
to kind of maybe pinpoint that down more. But I bet there's a lot of times where it's the entity, it's the orb, it's the shadow person, it's the you insert something here and you don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah.
Where it can be attributed back to your land is on something, or your building that you're currently in is on something that probably shouldn't have a building on it.
That's true. It's just hard to know. I mean, that's one of those things you just never truly know.
You don't. No. Interesting story. Thank you for calling in. Hi.
Hello, Tony. I'm a longtime listener, a first-time caller. I've been listening since around this time last year. On and off, but definitely around this time, the podcast is a staple to my daily routine. My name is Alex Morgan. My story is happened in Long Beach, California, Southern California. It was in the late 90s. I was at my cousin's house with my cousin. My grandma also lived there, and our friend. And, you know, this is late 90s. We were on dial-up AOL internet. And we figured, you know, let's go ahead and find out if there's any haunted places in California. So we ended up searching, you know, haunted places. It was a real old website. And there was just a list of all these different places in California that were haunted. It was actually a really nice list. It had all the big things like Queen Mary down to, like, houses on particular streets. It was really, really interesting. And we ended up finding this one location. It said Rancho Los Cerritos, and we saw it was in Long Beach, and, you know, we're at my cousin's house, and we're thinking, okay, let's find out where this is. We end up taking a look at this on a map and finding out it's a bike ride away from where we are, right across from the country club adjacent to his house. So, you know, we're all excited. My cousin, I, his friend, we get on our bikes, and we're going to go pedal over to this place. Rancho Los Cerritos in Long Beach, and we're going there, you know, the whole time we're talking about the stories we saw online. You know, people were saying it was haunted by an old Spanish foreman, and that there was a lot of Native American deaths there due to illness, and so we're kind of psyching each other up the whole bike ride there. You know, it was pretty cool. It was like something out of the Goonies or something. It was kind of like an adventure. And so we get there, the whole time we're trying to tell stories and psych each other out. We hop the wall, you know, the place was closed, probably super illegal. We're walking around the whole perimeter. My cousin's telling me stories about, you know, I guess he's been there before on a tour when it was opened, and he saw a rocking chair move. You know, we don't know if, obviously, at that point whether or not he's telling the truth or not, but we're just all, you know, joking around, at a point, we're just trying to scare each other because nothing's happening. A real cool old Spanish mission kind of style place. We're popping out, boo, you know, trying to trying to spook each other. Well, eventually, we're getting bored. We hop the gate, you know, to leave, and we just, for whatever reason, feel pulled over to the side of the rancho, and we're walking along this gravel path that separates it, kind of borders the country club, and it was sunset, and at that moment, you know, the whole atmosphere kind of changed, and I'm thinking to myself, this is the perfect time to spook my friends, because that's what we were doing the whole time, just joking around. You know, we didn't really believe in ghosts at the time. And so I picked up this rock, and I'm thinking, I'm going to chuck it into a bush over there and scare him. And right when I'm about to throw this rock over into the shrub, a rock of about similar size plopped down. I mean, it wasn't thrown from a trajectory. It literally plopped down from above my head and landed right in between me and my cousin and my friend. And didn't skip. I mean, it hit the ground, came back up a couple inches and fell back down. And I'm thinking, what the heck? You know, someone threw a rock. And I ended up telling that to my friends, you know, hey, guys, someone threw a rock. They turn around. They're like, yeah, right. You have a rock in your hand. At that point, another rock falls in literally the exact same location. I mean, if someone was off to the side throwing rocks, they would have had to catapult it directly up over our heads and have it fall straight down to land in this spot where it didn't skip at a trajectory. And at that moment, I remember you get kind of like, I felt this drunken kind of dizzy sensation. Like you could tell reality was somewhat warping at that moment. There was just a total change in the atmosphere. You felt kind of like lightheaded almost. Like anything could happen. And then the bush that I was just about to throw the original rock into to scare my friends, it starts swaying back and forth. The shrub is just like rhythmically, you know, a foot on each side, right to left. It's like almost as if the bush was slow dancing back and forth. And it wasn't the whole entire shrub. It was just like a 2x2 foot in the very center of the shrub that was kind of like rhythmically swaying. And at that point, I was like, all right, let's get out of here, let's go. And so we all went and jumped on our bikes, and you know, we're trying to pedal away. My friend Matt pedaled too hard, and he scooped the bike from out underneath him and just face planted into the gravel. And we left him. We were too scared to go back. We're just like, Matt fell down, let's keep going. So we went all the way back, you know, to my cousin's house, and eventually when we caught up, we told this tale, we talked about what happened, and I've always wondered, you know, did it read my mind? Because it knew exactly at the moment when I was going to scare my friends. You know, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a foreman, maybe it was, a Native American spirit, maybe it was, you know, a hobo in a bush trying to throw rocks and scare us. I don't think it was a hobo in a bush, because you could see through the bush, you know, the whole shrub was, like, well-maintained. The person would have had to have been crawled up in the very center, and it was like swaying in a very strange motion. It wasn't shaking, but that has always left an imprint on my mind. And you know, I later on in my life, I became a little bit more spiritual in that regard, and whenever I've had things happen out of the ordinary, I get kind of a similar dizzy sensation. But yeah, I wanted to go ahead and just tell you guys a story. You guys have a great show. Keep it up. So, bye-bye.
I don't know if something was reading his mind or not. Maybe they just saw him pick up the rock and they got the idea.
It's always interesting when you have people that are having, for lack of a better term, physical ailments when paranormal events are coming on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there's some sort of energy that's around them.
I think that's kind of the telltale sign in this case.
Mm-hmm.
If he hadn't had that, it could have been somebody just, you know, looking to spook a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like this is something that occurs when he's around other things as well.
Yeah.
That are paranormal.
That there was physically that reaction
mm-hmm.
to the occurrence. Very, very creepy. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do one more call here today on the show. Hi.
Hi, Jenny and Tony. Love your show. You guys are awesome. I just heard a story. I think it was in their October 12th podcast, and a woman called in, and she was telling the story about how she was a little girl at night, and there was like basically a demon trying to get her to go with him, and she was saying that he was her dad. Anyway, that story freaked me out so much because it made me remember something about my childhood. When I was a little girl, I had my parents added on a room onto the garage for me because I had two little sisters and one being born. So I was really excited to have my own room. I was probably like around the same age, between like 5 and 8 or something. And I was sleeping in the room and I woke up out of my sleep. I remember I woke up, I sat up, it was dark, and I heard this voice that sounded exactly like my dad's voice. Like it was my dad's voice, and he was even calling me like my childhood nickname. So it was like supposed to be my dad, but I was like, what the heck? Why would my dad be in my room? You know, like that's kind of weird. And it just kept calling my nickname and being like kind of being nice, but calling to me basically. And I just was like confused and didn't really know what to do. And I was just kind of listening and sitting there and like looking for my dad, like is my dad somewhere, you know, weirdly in the darkness. And basically what happened is it got frustrated. It sounded like it got frustrated because I didn't know what to do with him. Like, what is this? I don't know. And then, okay, this is a bad word, but I won't say the whole word. But basically got really mad, and then it said to me, don't F with the devil. Like, it literally said that to me, like, 5 years old. And I freaked out, got out of bed. I was already awake, you know, got out of bed, ran to my parents' room, like, they were both there. My parents were still together. They were always there. Great parents. They were like, it's okay, babe. Just sleep here. It was fine. Seriously, like, it was, you know, what's crazy is that was probably the first experience when I realized I was really sensitive. And pretty much my whole life, I'm almost 40, I, like, was trying to block that out, like, block the aspects of, like, hearing stuff like that and knowing stuff like that. So it's just kind of crazy. I've recently been like, okay, like, let me, like, be in touch with it, but, like, know what to do and have, like, tools to protect myself and everything, like, this past few years. So it's, like, all kind of crazy that would, like, come up. But that was literally, like, the root of it, was hearing that. And, I mean, I don't know, like, her situation, he was trying to get her and he was standing in the way. I didn't see anything. So I just ran out. I don't know if I ran through him or what, but he didn't block me. I think he was just, like, really mad that I wasn't, like, going with him or listening to him or acknowledging him. So anyway, that was just amazing. It's really, I mean, cool. I mean, like, about you that, like, she had to go through something like that similar, but it's really, like, amazing to hear somebody else kind of having, like, a similar situation, because, like, my dad is, like, the best dad in the world, always really super good guy, you know, like, really, like, devout, like, Catholic, but, like, nice Catholic, like, sweetest guy. Anybody in the world would, like, love him. So it was just, like, so weird to have that be, like, a demon or whatever. I don't know. But associated with that. So that's crazy, like, that her experience was similar, too, of, like, something taking on a different form. Anyway, I'll let you guys get back. I literally didn't even hear what you said after her segment. So you could be talking about the same kind of stuff now. But thank you so much for all you do. And that was amazing. Thank you. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Oftentimes, those sort of things, they take on the forms of people or objects or whatever that you trust, that you feel comfortable with. And that's how they get you to interact with them.
I'm just glad that she was able to hear another listener who had a similar experience. That's why if you're on the fence about telling a story, go ahead and tell it. Because you may be actually helping somebody else in the process.
Yeah, which is really kind of amazing. That's something that has organically happened with the show here. You know, we originally just started this as like, hey, entertainment, ghost stories. We all like sharing them. We all like hearing them. And then it started to morph into people saying, hey, I really feel good about, you know, being able to get this off my chest because nobody believed me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just cool to be able to do it. And then after a while, and we have more listeners, and it's like, oh, and by the way, that story you told, like, something very similar happened to me, but I never told anyone because I thought I was crazy, but I guess I'm not alone now. It's great.
It is.
It really, you know, it's entertainment, and it's it's paranormal therapy a bit
mm-hmm.
for some folks. So the more the merrier when it comes to the stories. So you can always share them here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, please help us keep it on the air. Please support it. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. We only ask $5 a month. You get a bonus episode every single week just for our EPPs and access to all of our bonus EPP episodes. More than 60 of them out there now for you. So please do your part if you like the show and you listen regularly to help keep this thing afloat. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. We greatly do appreciate that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski, and the fly that still is inhabiting this studio and landing on my head every other minute, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.